Joyce, appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Almost the end of the New Testament. Almost the end of the Bible there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Anybody need a worksheet that did not get one? Lift your hand up. Couple down here. Anybody didn't get a worksheet? Keep your hand up till they get there. We've been working our way through the life of Abraham. We started out the life of faith. You know, sometimes the life of faith, maybe it's just me. I feel like a life of faith, a lot of times we think about things that we're going to get an idea and by faith we're going to go do. You know what I mean? By faith, you know, Abraham left and he went to the promised land, all those kind of things. But a life of faith is not just about leaving and going doing something. Sometimes a life of faith is what comes at you. You might be minding your own business. And in fact, it's kind of like, have you ever been to the airport, a lot of these new larger airports, they've got escalators, but then in the middle of these long hallways, they've got these movable sidewalks, you know, and so it's like an escalator, but it's just all going, you know, straight ahead, just so you can get moving a little faster. And of course, you know, I hate to say it, I'm one of those folks that, you know, when you go in there and you're walking anyway, and it's moving, and you're just going right past these people, you know, I kind of like it. You're just buzzing right on by, but you're moving along, and sometimes God is moving along even though we feel like we're standing still. Now, maybe let me try to explain that. God puts us on a plan. He has a purpose for our life. He has a plan. He has the power. He's putting us where we need to be. And sometimes he's working in our life, and we feel like we're just standing still. We feel like nothing's happening. And just these things are coming at us and bombarding us and hitting us hard and so forth. The fact is, God has our hearts on a course. And he's doing something in our heart. He may not pick us up and move us physically anywhere else until he does something down the road in our own heart. You follow what I'm saying here? And so God has a purpose. He has a plan. He has us on a path. And a life of faith is sometimes just knowing how to give it to God when the world starts throwing things at you. In fact, the armor of faith in Ephesians 6 says it's the shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts of our adversary, the devil. Now, you may not be attacking the devil. He may be attacking you. But it's the shield of faith that is our armor that quenches those things. And so we may be having to live by faith, and we're really not going anywhere right now. We're just, God is doing a work in our heart. Now I want to read this passage here, and we will probably use, hopefully by now you know the story of Joseph. We've kind of gone through it, and we're going to go through more of it, but you kind of know the general gist of it, and we may use some of that in our illustrations tonight. But I want to take some time here and apply it to us today. So we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Now, life of faith, I've often said that a woman has, that God made man the head of the household, so a woman has to learn to live by faith. Because you're thinking, I don't understand that man, I don't know why he does what he does, you know, but you got married to him, you know. But sometimes you got to live by faith. Same thing goes when we, in the community that we live. Do you realize that according to Romans 13, we're supposed to obey the powers that be, because the powers that be are ordained of God? You say, well, they're not real smart. They're not real nice. Sometimes I think they're almost evil. And yet God put them in place. Now, we are to obey God rather than man. But sometimes man does some things that's not necessarily sin or wrong. It's just
not what makes sense.
And we have to obey by faith. Sometimes, kids, your parents don't make the right decision. But you know what you're supposed to do? Obey by faith and leave it in the hands of the Lord to make it right. We'll say, he's not making it right. Well, maybe there's still time. Joseph sat in jail for 2 years. We get upset because it hasn't been fixed in two minutes. So living by faith sometimes is taking what's coming at you and trusting the Lord, not forgetting that God is still in control. Now, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or under governors or as to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God. You want to know what the will of God is? Here's one of them. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know what? Listen, there's out there saying, you call yourself Christian. You're no better than we are. And then we get upset and act like a little spoiled brat like everybody else. And we prove them right. Now, there's times they do wrong, and they know they're doing wrong, and we know they're doing wrong. And yet we deal with it like a Christian's supposed to deal with it. And they'll say, wonder how they handled that. Verse 16. We're supposed to be as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king, servants, employees, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, the ones who are heading down the wrong path. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Now, we've been studying Joseph. If anybody suffered wrongfully, it was Joseph. He was just doing what he was supposed to be doing, and his brothers got upset with him. Now, I understand why they got upset, but it wasn't his fault. And they sell him into slavery. But he, Lord blesses, and he's doing okay, and he's working for Potiphar, and he's in there for a while and doing just fine. And then Potiphar's wife makes him suffer wrongfully by she falsely accuses him of a rape. So he ends up in jail for a while. And then, you know, he kind of gets a glimmer of hope with the butler and the baker, but then they forget him for another 2 years. He says, this is thankworthy, verse 19, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it? What kind of big deal would you say it is if when you be buffeted for your faults, when you get punished, if you get, you know, some hard things come at your way because you did wrong, that you take it patiently? You know, well, you did wrong, you ought to take your licking, you know. But if when you do well, you're just doing right. This isn't right. This isn't fair. This isn't just. Have you ever been there? I hate that. But if you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. That's not, I'm not just saying, well, you know, God's okay with that. It's saying you are showing, what you're doing is you're putting to silence the ignorance of foolish men. For even hereunto were ye called. What did it say? For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's a very important phrase there. who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about equipped for the call. We talked about a life of faith, and last week we talked about being the call of Christ. And we talked about how sometimes it brings in some tough times when we're called of Christ to be like Christ, to follow Christ, to take up our cross and follow him. Things aren't always going to be like we want it to be. He said, well, I don't want to lose my life here. Oh, if you lose your life for his sake, you shall find it. If you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But I want everything to be nice and just the way it was when I was a kid, and everything's fine and everything's wonderful. It doesn't work that way. If you spend your time trying to make life work that way, chances are you won't do much for the Lord. So we have the call of Christ on our life. But I say, well, so the next question is, how do I handle that? So we're talking about being equipped for the call. Let's pray. Father, give me thank you for your blessing. And Lord, I want to be a blessing to these folks. And Lord, again, once again I ask that we give each of us what we need. Now, I probably won't be able to address everything that needs to be said here tonight, but your Holy Spirit can. It may be in a parallel passage or something that we will see. I don't know what it is, but Lord, give each one exactly what they need here. Let them realize the Lord has heard them and is speaking to them. So we ask for your Holy Spirit, and I ask for you to move. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we've been going through the life of the patriarchs. We're up to Joseph. Now, life took a very different turn for a good young man who had hopes, and I'm sorry, and dreams. Pun intended. I'm assuming tonight that you basically know the overall account of the life of Joseph, and I may refer to it as examples we go along. However, I want to take the situation that Joseph found himself in and apply it to our lives and our times and see how these things should be handled. Now, from last time, some of the answers here I filled in for you, and then we'll have a few that are new. Last week we talked, God has a plan. Don't forget that. God has a plan for us. God has a plan for the world. God has a plan. You're all in it. To the nth degree. He has a plan. He knows that he can count the hairs on your head. He knows when a sparrow falls. He knows everything about your life. He knows what you're feeling. He's touched with the hurt and the infirmities of your heart. God knows. This is not fairy tale. This is not Grimm's fables. This is not Mother Goose. This is the Word of God. God knows what's going on in your life. You must start life. You must approach all of this that God knows. And God has a plan. Number two, God made a promise. He's going to get you through the plan. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He has promises, great and precious promises. Now, the fact is, we can live and not take advantage of the promises. He says we have great and precious promises if we will add to our faith virtue and virtue, knowledge and knowledge, temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. If these be in you and abound, may you not barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, even forgotten that he's been purged from his old sins. We can live outside the promises. Problem is, we could have the promise. God's right there. It's all there. Sometimes we're running from him. We just need to stay close to him. You draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. God has called us to glory and virtue. When this is God, you say, well, God's called me to a mess. No, what God has a plan for you is glory and virtue. Now, he may know that you're going to turn your back on him and you're going to have a mess in your life. He may know that, but that was our choice because we ran away from the Lord. So God has a plan. God has a promise to draw us to glory and virtue. Number three, God has problems. But like, remember this, there are things that's going to come up. We say, what? Well, God, how's God going to deal with that? problems are no problem with God. No matter what appears to be mistakes and roadblocks to the promises of God, God knew all about them before he made the promise and has all that considered and worked into the plan in one way or another. Problems are no problems for God. And I told you, sometimes God works around those problems. Sometimes God solves the problems. And sometimes God uses the problems. But problems are not a problem for God. Now, listen, you've got to understand it. God has a plan. God has promises. Problems are not the issue. A lot of times I'll have folks come in. I've had young men come into my office and say, oh, you know, I just feel like I'm not what I'm supposed to be doing. And I've had quite a few say, you know what, years ago when I was a kid, I think God called me to be in the ministry. And I just couldn't see myself doing that. I didn't think I could. And I wasn't sure I wanted to and this and that and the other thing. And I just didn't. And now they feel like they're rambling through life. Because they just kind of go from job to job to job, and the Lord will use them. But they felt like they were called, and they didn't answer the call. And you know why? Because they think, well, there's this problem, and there's this issue, and there's this issue, and this, so it probably just won't work. I was one of those men until I was 30 years old that I decided I was going to go ahead and let God use me. Now, he was using me, but not to the full extent that he could have. So number four, God has the power. Nothing's going to stop God's plan if we'll get on. Now listen, God's still working to the plan. Now we, when I say nothing can stop us, we can decide we're going to do our own little thing and not see the plan come to fruition. But God's still working the plan in our life. He's going to keep working it. The promises of God are the promises of God. Now, number one underneath that, here's his new. God's plan may include difficult times. Again, these are basic thoughts. You've got to get this in mind. God has a plan. He has the power. He has the promises. He can make it work. But God's plan may include difficult times. Just because something goes wrong, doesn't seem nice, it's hard, maybe if it makes you cry, that doesn't mean it's not part of God's plan. I've been talking about Psalm 23. He's leading me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, but yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, he's the one that's been leading me through the path. What am I doing down here in the valley of the shadow of death? That was where he wanted to be. But he says, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, if that wasn't where God was leading you, then God wouldn't be in the valley of the shadow of death. He would have been someplace else, because God doesn't walk in darkness unless that's where he wants you to be. You follow me? The Lord was there. I fear no evil because thou art with me. Well, apparently he hadn't wandered off. He's walking with the Lord. And walking with the Lord ended up in the middle of the valley of shadow of death. But God's with me. He will make a table. He'll prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Down in the valley of shadow of death, about ready to get attacked. Maybe I'm being attacked. But God says, I'll provide for you. Yeah, but I'm seeing whoosh, 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 the arrows going over my head. Hey, shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts. God's plan may include some difficult times. Number two, God's plan includes glory. There's good things going to come. He said, if we will do what we need to do in due time, he exalted Christ. In due time, we shall be lifted up. So number three, the road to glory is most often not an easy road. Now, you'll remember this from last time, and we're getting real close to that. When we get to number four, it's all brand new. The road to glory is most often not an easy road. The glory most often comes at the end of the trip. And when we are called of God, we are often called to pass through a variety of things on our way to glory and virtue. Now, we finished this up last week. The call of God is not always glorious to start with. Sometimes, listen, the call of God, man, God called me to be an ambassador for him. Yeah. Call to serve. Do you remember when James and John, I mean, Jesus is headed toward the cross, and James and John says, we were having this argument, and then they talk to, hey, Jesus, we were just wondering, and then they get their mom in on it. Get mom in to come in there. Hey, I think my boys, when you get to the kingdom, you get all set up there, and you know you're sitting on the throne. I want one of my boys to sit on the left side, and one of the boys to sit on the right side. Now, the rest of the disciples are going, man, I should have said that. And then Jesus says, do you know what you're asking? Are you able to drink the cup that I drink of? Oh, yeah. Well, believe it or not, you're going to have to whether you want to or not. But the fact who gets to sit on the right side and who gets to sit on the left side, that's not my choice. That's the Father's choice. Well, I'm going to serve Christ. I've been right there with him. Well, are you ready to serve? Are you called to surrender? When you listen, hymn 308 in our hymn book, I surrender, oh my soul. I'll surrender my broccoli. Let's see. I'll surrender my right to use my snowblower when it goes in. I'll do that. I'll surrender doing maintenance on my car. I'll let the guy down at the shop do that. I'll call Al and let him do that. I'll surrender. You see what I'm saying? Will you surrender your Corvette? Now God's going into meddling. Will you surrender going out to eat on Sunday afternoon? Will you surrender your Sunday afternoons? Will you surrender maybe some time with extended family because you've made an obligation to serve him somewhere? Maybe you're going to surrender getting that new car this year because we're not going to work on Sunday extra to get extra money and get time and a half. And so it's going to take a whole lot longer to get that house or get that. Maybe I'm going to surrender buy a new car this year so I can keep the kids in school. Kids, you probably don't know what your parents have surrendered over the years to keep your kid to keep you in school. Sometimes we're called to exercise courage. I mentioned that, but courage is not the point that you're not scared anymore. It's moving on even when you are scared. When you don't understand how God's going to do this, but you're going to do it because God's given you a promise, and you know he has a plan, so it's going to have to work out. We're called to love. Love doesn't really kick in until you love the unlovely. You're going to love your husband even when he comes in from working in the yard and he tracks mud all the way across that floor you just did. I'm not saying you're not going to say something about it, but you're going to still love him. You're going to be nice about it. Called to care. I mean, really care. Not just say, hey, I'll pray for you. I mean, actually pray. I mean, actually care about somebody. To go out of your way and put yourself as second so that somebody else can have what they need. And then finally called to suffer. Called to suffer. And letter C, we become bitter in the call of God because we do not trust God. We become bitter. Why? There we go. For some reason, we don't trust God's motives or his character, his integrity, or his love. We finished up there last week. Number four, I want you to see the call of Christ upon us. The call of Christ. Jesus said, you want to follow me? Good. Now, people thought they were following him to the kingdom. And you know they are. But the road to the kingdom is not an easy road. There's an old song. It's not an easy road. How's it go? Up to heaven. It's an old one. I'll have to find it. I'll dig it out one time. It's not always an easy road. Now, they're going to, but see, what did they have in mind? I'm going to sit on the right side, you're going to sit on the left. And all you other peons, you can serve us too. The call of Christ is, if you want to follow me, take up your cross. What is that cross?
Surrender of everything.
When Jesus was put on that cross, what did he have left? He didn't even have the clothes on his back.
Now, God doesn't always make us go, he's not going to make us walk around naked and serve him. God takes good care of his servants.
But we hang on to stuff, well, I'll serve him if I can keep a hold of this. Or I'll serve him if I can keep a hold of this. Well, I can serve him if I don't have to.
Well, watch this. Letter A. The call of Christ upon us, are you ready for this? Is a call to submission to man. Submission to man. That's almost harder sometimes than being submissive to God. Look what it says in verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, or as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that will with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. All men, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We are to let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Because why? They are going to know that only God can produce this kind of fruit. What kind of fruit? A submissive spirit. There are things we don't like. I remember when we, you know, when you get into things like building this building. Oh, my soul. Fact is, I think I told you this. We will probably, Lord willing, going to have this parking lot paved in early May. We're on the schedule to have this lower parking lot because you all have been so faithful and generous and the Lord's been blessing, and we're going to have this lower parking lot paved. And they're telling us early May they got some large projects and so forth. People who are doing it are doing Memorial Hospital, so they can't just drop everything, and you know, but they got some project. And so I just want to do right because I think, listen, I think God blesses when we do what he says. This is the will of God. So you know what I did? I called the township. And I said, we're getting ready to pave the lower parking lot. Now I assume, because this was all in the plans, we could have paved it 2 years ago, that we don't need an additional permit. All we got to do is put blacktop on what's already there. And when we did the upper one, that's what they said. Well, you got stone on there. It's all the same. We count it all the same. You're just putting blacktop. Just do it. So I called down there, and he said, well, I don't know. They said, the laws are changing all the time. I don't know if you're going to need a permit for this or not. So let me get back to you. So that was last week, and she was out of town, so I hope she's going to get back to me this week. I had to make a drawing where we're going to do and all this stuff, and I take it down there. And I'll be honest with you. I said, what do you mean we're going to need a permit? I did. I'm sorry. I got in the flesh there for a second. I said, what? I mean, and I didn't even yell. We're just going to put blacktop on what's already there. So what won't be a big permit? Probably $50. And I'm thinking, why do they need my $50? It's not my $50. You say, it's ours. No, it's the Lord's. And if God wants to spend his $50 for us to have a good attitude and show them who we are and they know how unreasonable it is, that $50 is well worth it if it increases our testimony at the township. You see, we don't look at that the right way. They know that this is ridiculous. I mean, the fact is, it's really not. I'm not going to say her name, but there's not a problem with it. She's a nice lady. She's just doing what she's told to do. She's just a local lady that has to take the heat. And the fact is, we have a good name down there at the township. And I'll tell you why. Because when the craziness happens, we said, okay, well, can we double check it and make sure? You know, what's it going to be? And you say, well, we wasted God's money. God knew it. He's the one that told us to submit, and the powers that be were put in, he let them in there. I remember, this is honest, goodness, truth. I remember from the first, we built a house in Hampstead in 1982, we moved in. And then right after Nathan was born, we built a house closer to Westminster. And I was surprised, and I was my own general contractor at that time. I was surprised how many more policies and rules and stuff that had come along, that it was just crazy. And there was, you know, the building codes had gone up, and you know, you can't just do it like this, you gotta do it like this, and you gotta put more this in, more that in. And I'm thinking, well, that's fine and dandy. I mean, it'd be nice to do it that way, but I can't afford to do it. Wait. I was trying to get a house that was closer, so I wasn't a half an hour away from work, and I could have more time with my family and so forth. And I really felt like I prayed about it. I mean, I really prayed. I prayed about it. I designed the house. That's the house I'm supposed to put on that lot, and here we go. This is what we got to do. Well, the fact is, you know what? They upped the building codes. Well, who allowed them to up the building codes? Now, it was real nice, but you know what that meant? God had to pay for it. Well, you don't have the money. I don't have the money, but he does. He has to. If he put the guy in charge, we got all upset. God, we're submitting to the ones that God had put in charge. Now, with all the extra money we put in, when we sold our house to come up here, you ready? We made $175,000 profit. Well, what did you do? Nothing. God worked it all out. We were able to come up here and buy a house for cash, which we never. I was trying to figure out how in the world I was going to put Sterl through college when I was down there, when I was making a lot of money. I came up here. And the deal was, and I made the deal, if there's anything left at the end of the month, after you paid all the church bills, you pay me. Because we only had 30 people. And I want to make sure we had a good name amongst the people around here. We do our job. And so I didn't have a job. I didn't have any money coming up here. And yet the Lord sold our house down there. And we made $175,000. We came up here and bought a house for cash. And yes, we used a lot of it to live on those first few years. But he gave it to us. And he gave it to us to use it. Now, we had a lot of folks who were very generous and gave us stuff, and food would show up, and squash would show up in the back seat of the car. You got to be careful, Ron. You got to lock your car, because squash will show up in the rear seat of your car. But they took good care of us. See, what I'm saying, a submitting to man is a matter of faith. Giving to God who judges righteously. See, we say, well, I can't. I had no choice. Oh, yes, you have a choice. Who's in control? The Lord is in control. We wonder why if we do our own thing, then we're only going to get what we can get. When we do it God's way, we get what God can give you. So we're called to submit to man. Letter B, we're called to serve. We're called to serve. Seek to be a servant, not the superior. 1 Peter 2:18. Let's continue our passage. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Watch, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You know my boss. I tell you what, there's no meaner guy in town. And I swear he's dipping in my paycheck more than he's supposed to. And I have a right to be disrespectful to him. You know, that whether we say that or not, that's the way we feel. Verse 19, he says, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it? If when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. You put that in the context of servants. It's like the boss told you to do a job, and then a few minutes later, a little while later, he comes up and says, this is what you did. Well, this is what you told me to do. You ever have one of those? When I, my first job, I was 15 years old. I was still riding a bike. First day I drove, I locked my keys in the car. But anyway, I drove my bike to. I was working at a drugstore, and one of my jobs was to take the prescriptions that people would give you, and then I had to stamp it with a number, and then that went on the pill bottle, and then you put those things in order. So because when they come back for refills and all this stuff, you had to keep a record of all that was going on. So one of my jobs was to make sure they were in order. Now the fact is, I would get them in order. And I, Doc Abel, bless his heart, he was a good guy, but I'll tell you, he wasn't very organized. But he'd have all these things there. And I would work on Friday night and Saturday night. Well, Saturday night, it really wasn't much going in. He was Jewish, by the way. We would have sausage on our pizza on Friday nights. But anyway, I would be putting this all in order because it really wasn't busy on Saturday night. And then I'd come back the next week, and he had sorted through them to find them for the refills. And they were all out of order again. And so I sit down the next Saturday, and he said, "What's wrong with it? Why don't you have these things in order? I'm supposed to be able to find these things. Why aren't they order?" I said, "Well, you changed them." And be honest with you, he had this little ring thing you could put them on. And so, be honest with you, I got to the point where I told him Saturday, "I'm not leaving until I get all these punched and get them on this on the little holder. And then you'll have them when you need them." And I finally convinced them to let me do that. But I remember getting in trouble for doing what was right. Now, that's hard. Now, if I had done some things that were wrong and he gave me a hard time, well, you know, had it coming. Now, some people around, there's some people who won't even take it when they've done wrong because they won't admit they did wrong. But we think, well, I admitted I was wrong. I was good. I'm good. Well, what happens when you're buffeted, when you're given a hard time, and you were right? Now we see whether Christ is in you or not. A call to serve. Letter C. A call to be like the Savior. A call to be like the Savior. Verse 21. This is exactly where ye are called. "For even hereunto were ye called," watch, "because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled," listen, they came in and told him how awful he was, and that he was a fool, and that he wasn't God, and he's just a man. In fact, he's a liar. And they mock him. "When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he didn't say, 'I'll get you, I'll get you.'" And your little dog, too. "No, I'll get you." No, he didn't do that. "When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed," well, here it is, "but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." This is when we take our life, like Christ. What did he say just before he died on the cross? "Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit." He was dying with the sins of the world on him. You know what he said? "With all the sin on me, I place myself in your hands, Father, to do right." Just like we have to. With all of our sin, we place our sin in his hand to do right with it. But when we surrender, what are we doing? We're saying, "Here I am, Lord. You work it out." Now, this is what I like to see, and this is what I'm doing, but you know what? It's all yours. That's surrender. "Lord, they're making fun of me." Watch this. "They are making fun of me on Facebook." You know what? God knows. "But they make me feel bad." God knows. Well, people are going to think terrible things about me. God knows. And he has promises. You give it to him who judges righteously. What somebody says on that internet has nothing to do with reality. They just say. My God is greater than any one of those. He's greater than all of them combined. You ever hear the old phrase that the nerds rule the world? You ever hear that? The nerds rule the world, because they were all the ones that everybody made fun of them in school, but they're the ones who know what they're doing and make all the money. We did whatever it may be. We say, well, I'm having to be a servant, and I shouldn't have to. They put me in jail, and I shouldn't be here. Well, listen, while you're in jail, be the best prisoner you can be. Get rid of, put what's the word there? Put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Was not just. No, it wasn't. But look at Joseph. It's not right. I know, but look at Joseph. And what did God do? He pulled him back up out of that miry clay. Put him right on top. Living by faith, a call to a life of Christ, may be a call to deal with some things you didn't think you're going to have to deal with. But give it to him who judges righteous. God's going to do the right thing by it. And the timing is always right. It may not be our timing. Letter D. I'm sorry, let's go back. Verse 23, whom when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live into righteousness, by whose stripes, talking about the scourging, ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. He didn't get anything out of it but us. Big prize. Letter D. A call of submission to God. A call of submission to God. Look at verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. It's a submission to God. It's saying, here I am, I'm in your hands, Lord, and I know that you'll do what's right. It isn't always what we like, but it's right. If Joseph had been put in jail, he wouldn't have been there when the butler and the baker had their dreams. But he was. And that's how he ended up in Pharaoh's household, basically running the most powerful nation in the world at the time. Now, number five. Wow. I'm going to stop. Because this is the answer. But I don't want to breeze by the answer. So I'm going to stop. It's time. It's quarter after. We'll finish this up in 2 weeks. Dr. Smith will be here next week on All Day Sunday, and we'll be back here Monday night with Joe Arthur and Dr. Smith, Tuesday morning Joe Arthur and Dr. Smith, and Tuesday night. Now listen to me. Stopping right there is kind of difficult, but that's really how we live. In other words, you surrender to God, you put your life in the hands of God, who judges righteously by faith. We decide he judges righteously. His word says he got a promise, and we put it in his hands, and now what? How's this going to end? How's this going to work out? Well, how are we going to pay my bills? Well, does everybody think that I'm some kind of dirty dog? The way it looks right now, everybody's going to think I was guilty. Well, what about my marriage? What about the kids? What about my job? What about... And that's what we do. When we surrender, we hand it to him. We don't know where he's going to go with it. But I do know this. There's no better place for it to be than in his hand. Now, how am I going to be able to handle that? Now, where we are right now in this message is this. This is what we should do. When we're falsely accused, we ought to take it patiently. When people wrong us, we ought to take it patiently. We're supposed to be a good employee for a good boss or a bad boss. How in the world am I supposed to do that? I'll tell you next week. No, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. It is possible. It's possible. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. These dear folks, appreciate them. Lord, we know that you've called us to a great high calling. But Lord, you said that we will reign with you if we suffer with you. Sometimes that word suffer means to allow into our life maybe things we wouldn't normally like to allow into our life. We need to be like Christ. Lord, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed and our eyes.